Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Lots of letters about the opposition to the offshore drilling and from Senator Scott, Senator Moody, the Congressman Petronas, the whole Florida delegation. We've also sent a letter in, to the president, to all of those same people opposing the use of the Eastern Gulf Test and Training Range in offshore oil and gas lease sales. So get you a copy of that letter. And you know, I certainly think that this is an important issue, has always been an important issue, and certainly something that we're going to advocate for. So, and I really look at that as a direct threat to our economy here in the city and to our region. So I appreciate their strong efforts, our Florida delegation federally, and wanted to join in and certainly make our feelings known about that as well.
There you go, Mayor. I almost called him Mayor Dave Hoxling. Why would that pop into my head? My God, Dave just drove off the road if he's listening. Mayor D.C. Reeves, that's my owner of the station's name, is Dave Hoxing. I don't know. You know, it is weird. I had a tooth pulled, and I'm not on codeine, so I don't know why I'm weird this morning, but whatever. Maybe I should have been. Maybe that's the problem. Maybe hydrocodone, I guess, is what they prescribed me, and I haven't taken it because I'm scared to take it, honestly. I don't want to, you know, people say they have it all experienced all kinds of different ways. I don't want to, like, get hooked on something. You know, I just don't want to. I don't want to enjoy it. And so if I don't need it, you know, that's good enough for me. Maybe we'll talk about that later. The experience of getting a tooth pulled. But yeah, the Scambia County Commission is going to send a letter. The Santa Rosa. I mean, I assume they will. I think they did already. And I think they're doing another resolution on this week to join in with the exact language of the one that's been done by the delegation. Santa Rosa County is going to do this. They'll vote on it officially tomorrow, but I'm sure they'll do it. And, you know, same thing for the city. It's all good. I like his phrasing, though, that we consider drilling in the Gulf a direct threat to us and a direct threat to the military mission. And it is. That's exactly right. Also, kind of a rare chance for the mayor to praise FDOT. Kind of a cool thing, because remember, he's talking about this 14th and Gregory intersection, and there's been all kinds of problems at that one, and, you know, fatalities in there, especially speed coming off the bridge. Now that the bridge is done, it's a straight shot. There's no stoplights. It's just, you know, what can we do at that intersection to make it safer? Because that's when you're coming around the curve, sort of, and people might be crossing, people might be turning on, people might be turning off. It's a weird one. I agree with him. It's a dangerous one. And if people would only drive 35, it'd be fine, but you know, who does? I mean, really, who does?
I did send a note to Secretary Smith, District 3 FDOT, about 14th and Gregory, as I mentioned to you guys before. Also had a phone call with him, and fortunately, and certainly appreciate the FDOT's proactivity, they'd already been working on some solutions there at 14th and Gregory. So they're in that evaluation process already. So I'm very appreciative of FDOT they have received that email, and they've received the message from me, but I do appreciate the fact that they weren't waiting on that. That they've been, they'd seen some issues themselves, or at least heard about those issues, and they've been already working on it.
Yeah, good. I mean, they were already kind of ahead of the curve a little bit, which is kind of nice. Christmas parade this weekend. They're closing the street 2:30. 5:30 is the parade rolls on Saturday.
Closures for the Christmas parade Saturday, this coming Saturday. The staging area will be closed to traffic at 2:30, and the parade will begin at 5:30. We've now had a year of this new security plan.
Yeah, so we've been doing this ever since New Orleans, and, you know, it's kind of been working fairly well. Also, remember that plane crash that happened over the weekend at Pensacola International Airport? Got a little bit more detail on that. I thought it was fascinating.
We had the small airplane crash incident Sunday evening, 5:27 p.m., and shortly after takeoff, a small plane crashed into nearby trees on airport property. The pilot and three occupants received non-life-threatening injuries and were transported for medical evaluation, and the airport was closed for about 11 minutes.
11 minutes? The airport was closed for 11 minutes. For a crash, it was off the property but in the trees, you know? holy smokes. I mean, 11 minutes is that you would think an airplane crash would be like 1 hour, 2 hours, 3 hours. I mean, look at how long a road gets closed for a crash.
Oh, goodness, yes.
Right? Right? So, wow, that's, I mean, 11 minutes is it's pretty good. Bad. I guess, you know, look, the trains need to run, or the air trains or air buses or whatever you're supposed to call planes these days.
Aircrafts were diverted during the incident, and FAA three. And NTSB are investigating the cause of the crash. I do want to applaud our airport staff, police department, all of the first responders there did an amazing job being on site and getting that taken care of as optimally as you possibly can, and to minimize the inconvenience of a very busy airport during a very busy time of year. So kudos to them.
Yeah, definitely kudos to them. He was also asked about this tree that got cut down in the park. I'll tell you about that in just a second. John Pickens has traffic on the fives. John?
That's right. Brought to you by Barberry Plumbing. When it's time to call a plumber, call the best of the Bay winner, Barberry Plumbing, at 477-8782. Still rolling accident-free right now. And let's see here. Delay-free also. Not seeing anything that's going to slow you down. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the five.
Thanks so much, John. Yeah, the Belvedere Park in Pensacola had a big oak tree, a protected oak tree that was accidentally trimmed, apparently. I don't know the extent of the trimming. I haven't seen it, but man, don't do that. So he was asked about this yesterday, and he was very frustrated about the fact that this happened without permission.
It was not, absolutely not approved by the city. I know we are handling this internally. We're aware that that there was a contractor that the city uses made a decision without the authority of the city. So we certainly are aware of that. We've made that contractor aware of that, and we are working on how that will be rectified, be it through fines or otherwise. So don't have exact details for you on that, but we have calculated to the inch the amount of limb that would come down, the same way that you would calculate that if a citizen were to have had that take place. So more to come on where that ends up, but that unequivocally was not signed off on or authorized by the city.
So pretty clear about that. If you don't know where Belvedere Park is, it's just south of Creighton, east of 9th Avenue. And so just, you know, FYI, if you want to put that in your hopper for where things are at. Even though I've lived here a long time, there are still a lot of places I don't know. And I always feel like for the people who've lived here for 6 months or a year, you know, we say, well, you know, it happened here. Well, where is that? You know, I can't show you a map on the radio. It's harder. I have to describe it with words, which is, you know, more difficult. We do our best, though.
So. And you can't use hand gestures either. So,
The worst is I'm talking and using hand gestures, which I know John will add to the information. And then I see him nodding. I'm like, oh, cool. It's clear. But John has the hand gestures.
I know. How does that help? I get to see the little diagram that you put on your hand.
You know, this is actually one of the reasons that historically I prefer to do phone interviews with people rather than in the studio. Even though in the studio sounds better, right? The audio quality is better. The problem within the studio is we have hand gestures and eye communication and facial gestures, which convey information the audience doesn't get. So the reason I always like the phone is because 100% of the communication between me and the person is also coming across the audience. Just like in a video, same thing. If you're watching it, then you get to see 100% of the communication. And I always feel like in studio, it's just different. Just, you know, it's different. It's sometimes better, sometimes worse, but it's different. And I don't like different. You know that by now. 618.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, we know. 618 on News Radio 92.3. If you're thinking about buying or selling a home, Christina Leavenworth and her team at Leavenworth Realty are just really good at this. She started, and we all of those of us who knew her thought she could probably do well, but you never know. Somebody's got to actually do it. You know, a lot of people try real estate. Well, man, she's been fantastic at it, selling well over 200 homes a year over the time when it was really hot. The market was pretty easy, and a lot of people were selling, you know, a lot of homes. Well, then the market got harder. And she and her folks at Leavenworth Realty still sell a lot of homes, 175 2 years ago, 165 last year, you know, 3 to 4 a week on average. Well, this year it's actually up. Even though the market is worse, it's a down market. She's actually up 30%. She's got 180 in the bag. She's looking at around 196, 200, you know, for the year, which is amazing. And I'll tell you what she tells me is a lot of it is people who had tried other realtors and didn't get there. One realtor, two realtors, they call her. She sells her home. Three realtors, four realtors, five realtors. She's had two clients recently with five prior realtors, and she sells their home. And one with seven. Oh, my God. She told me she had a client that had seven other realtors and came to her. Do you know how desperate and frayed and frustrated and, you know, 7 realtors can't sell your home and she sells your home. Thank God. You know, well, you know, you don't have to wait for the 8th realtor. Call her now. 786-3996 for Christina Leavenworth and her team at Leavenrinky Realty.
Delicious seafood is what you'll find at Davis Catfish House. Davis Catfish serves only the best Mississippi catfish, fresh Gulf seafood, and delicious homemade sides. Weekday specials include 2 times Tuesday, 6 free shrimp added to the 6-piece dinner. Wednesdays offer lunch basket specials. And everybody's favorite, Shrimptastic Thursday, $5 off all you can eat shrimp. Serving fresh seafood daily. Visit Davis Catfish House on Dogwood Drive in Milton. See you at David's.
You take care of your car, right? So why not give your auto loan some TLC? Refinance an existing loan from another institution with Pinair Credit Union and lower your interest rate by up to 2%. Plus, you can skip payments for the first 90 days. In addition to a better rate, you'll enjoy convenient banking and a friendly local team always ready to help. Learn more at pinair.org/autorefi. That's pinair.org/autorefi. All loans are subject to approval. Offer valid on loan applications submitted between October 1st and December 31st, 2025 only. Call toll-free 1-877-4-PINAIR for complete details.
Hi, I'm Terrence A. Gross. As many of you know, I am a local board-certified personal injury lawyer, and I have practiced in this community for almost 40 years. Our law firm handles only people that have been injured due to the negligence of another. Join me this Wednesday at 10:30 on Pep Talk as we discuss all aspects of personal injury law.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
6,000 children depend on your compassion this holiday season. WEAR-TV's Communities Caring at Christmas brings dignity and joy to vulnerable families in our community. Give online at communitiescaringatchristmas.com or deliver new unwrapped toys to WEAR-TV, Sandy Sansing Dealerships, or News Radio 92.3. Your donation supports foster children, children in poverty, and adults with developmental disabilities. Please support Communities Caring at Christmas.
Hi, this is Andrew McKay, and I wish you and your family a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year.
From all of us to all of you, Merry Christmas.
Ho, ho, ho!
He's awful! He's terrible!
Not only that, he isn't even nice.
You know this, John?
No, but I love it.
What year does this sound like?
Like 1979.
Back up a decade. 1969 is the name of the song, actually. But it's Stooges, right? It's, you know, late 60s, early 70s. It's Precursors, MC5, that kind of vintage. And, man, I love that song.
Huh. I was right. Like, yeah, that's
622 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. Who at Fox News doesn't know what a Blue Angel is? I'll tell you in a minute.
Really?
Oh, this is a funny story.
Okay.
This is funny. I mean, you know, it's wrong in a cute way. Okay, we'll tell you in a second. David Wayne's in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
I know what's coming up, and I can't wait to hear it. I just got to tell you that. So President Trump is not ruling out sending troops to Venezuela. When he was asked about that possibility in an interview with Politico, the president said he couldn't comment on it, and he wouldn't say one way or the other, but he did say that Nicolas Maduro's days are numbered there. One student has died. Another was hurt after a shooting at Kentucky State University. The Frankfort Police Department says they do have a suspect in custody. He's been identified as an Indiana man who does not attend the university. And Secretary of State Marco Rubio has declared that Calibri is a DEI font. Rubio has ordered the State Department to return to using Times New Roman as the standard font for official communications. The font was switched to Calibri under the Biden administration based on studies. It could be easier to read for people with visual disabilities.
Oh, so you're literally writing my Transgressors episode for me.
The internal memo is calling for the use of Calibri, is calling the use of Calibri a wasteful diversity program and says that Times New Roman will restore decorum and professionalism.
I'm an Arial guy. I think Arial is the easiest to read. The best Times New Roman, Calibri. We're going to have fights over serif or non-serif. I mean, good Lord. Just good Lord. Who cares? I mean, well, you know, for the people who are visually impaired. Well, yeah, okay. If it makes it easier for them, then great.
I just like to write everything in impact.
It's helvetica.
All caps, bold.
Wingdings. Yeah. Yep. All right. God. Calibri is a DEI font. I don't even have to make... I know when you hear me do the Transgressions Memorial Service on Fridays, early service at 6:28, service, late service at 8:20. I know. Human nature. Oh, he's making that up. I never have to. The world is far too insane for me to even have to be creative. I just report it with a little bit of satire, or a lot. David, thank you for that gift. That's fantastic. And yes, your story's coming up next after John tells us about the traffic on the fives.
That's right. No accidents to report to you right now. I-10, I-110 look good. 90, 98. No delays to let you know about. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, John. If you're thinking about that next vehicle, Frontier Motors has a great selection of good quality used cars. Cars that are about a year to 4 years young, low miles, 10 to maybe 40,000, 50,000 miles, something like that. You're going to be the second owner, maybe the third. Okay, we are the second owner of our Dodge. We sold the Grand Caravan. We picked up the Honda Odyssey from them. It was a year young with like 12,000 miles, and we got a great deal, and it was a perfect car. And we were just looking to test drive. They were hard to find a test drive at the time, and they had one. We drove it. We loved it. We bought it. I mean, it was really that easy. And then they followed up with us 6 months and a year later to see if we were happy. And they replaced the physical key fob because it didn't work a year after we bought the car. No cost on them. Easy peasy. Took like 12 minutes. I mean, that probably included the drive. I mean, it was crazy. But they do this right. They do it the way like used cars should be sold, so that you want to come back, so that you feel good about the interaction, as opposed to feeling like, man, I got out of that alive. Like, that's not the way they want you to feel. They're your guidance counselor of sorts, like your car buying ally, not your adversary. Go to Frontier and find out it can be different. Serving the Pensacola community for more than 25 years behind the Big Buffalo on Beverly Parkway. Be sure to tell them Andrew McKay says hi. Who says I talk fast? Shut up. Okay. So, as you heard David mentioning, Venezuela is this sort of every day there's some new kind of escalation. The most recent news yesterday was that for about 40 minutes, 30 minutes or more, there were F-A-18, I call them F-18s. I know it's fighter slash attack, and I know they're different, but in my brain, it's always the F-18. Anyway, flying over the waters north of Venezuela. So not over Venezuela itself, but over what you would typically consider to be their, you know, I mean, it is and it isn't their airspace. If you look at the flight path, I don't think they actually went over their airspace, but they were right over two major, you know, several major areas. Places that they flew around or near were, you know, production facilities, oil pipelines. I mean, you know, like important parts of Venezuela. This was a, hey, we're here, you know, pay attention. And this isn't even our capability. This is just like easy peasy flyby stuff. Okay, so we flew two F-18s. It shows up on one of these, you know, flight radar tracking sites. And there were locals on the ground reporting that they had seen it and they left, you know, trails and whatever. 25,000 feet up, so not low. But they were right near Venezuela yesterday. This is the, you know, one of the most significant sort of provocations that we have done in the region. All of that is only interesting. What I find or found to be the best part about this story is the headline on Fox News. Fox News, obviously, we are a Fox News affiliate, and FoxNews.com is one of my favorite websites. It's one I go to every day, along with NPR and CBS and the AP and, you know, Reuters and, I mean, all kinds of websites. Like, I do a lot of, I read the internet every day. The headline, U.S. deploys fighter jets to Venezuelan coast in closest approach yet. And then it has a picture of two F-18s that flew new Venezuela. Yesterday, John, paint scheme on a typical F-18 flying off of the Gerald Ford, the carrier Ford that is in the Caribbean now, would be colored what?
Gray.
Gray. Yeah. What color do you think the planes in the picture are?
Blue.
Do you think they have any accent colors?
I think yellow.
Yeah. So.
It was a demo. We were trying to do a demo show.
Oh, my God. So this is only hilarious to people in Pensacola, I think. But it's still hilarious that the Fox News story, U.S. deploys fighter jets to Venezuelan coast in closest approach yet, show of force over the picture, and it's got four and five doing a solo pass, or not, they're not doing crossing. It looks like four. It's hard to tell in the picture. I suppose it could be them doing their carrier break return, but it's two planes not flying exactly in unison, but flying close to each other. And I'm like, did we redeploy the Blue Angels to the Gerald Ford? Is winter training happening in South America? Nobody told me. And even on the story itself, it had the same picture, and it said U.S. F-A-18 fighter jets flew over the Gulf of Venezuela in the closest known approach to Venezuelan airspace, conducting what officials called routine training. and then it gives credit to somebody for the photo. Wolfgang Keckler, Light Rocket, via Getty Images. So this is a stock image of an F-A-18. I mean, obviously it's not an actual photo of the planes flying yesterday. And I thought, you know, probably what happened is some intern got handed a story, and their job is to go find a picture for the story. And somebody told him, all right, go find F-A-18s. Just get it done with. Details don't matter.
Well, just a little.
Oh, man. It made me laugh. And I try to share with you things that make me laugh. So, you know, by the way, given the very or fairly robust for their kind of country air defense systems, I don't want unarmed F-A-18s like the Blue Angels fly in their airspace. I want loaded, you know, to go there.
I'm Gianna Gelosi.
Lower prices, bigger paychecks. You're getting lower prices, bigger paychecks.
President Trump took his economic message on the road to Pennsylvania, the first of many stops ahead of the midterms.
The president says the economy is starting to make a turnaround, and it's the Democrats' fault for being like this in the first place. Trump telling the crowd it's his tariff strategy that's bringing in so much money and helping boost the economy.
That's Fox's Jeff Paul. Dueling plans hit the Senate floor Thursday as healthcare fights dominate Capitol Hill. Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer and Democrats want to extend Obamacare subsidies.
It directly tackles the premium spike. And third, every Democrat supports it so it can pass the minute Republicans stop blocking it.
Republicans want that money in health savings accounts. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 6:31 at News Radio 92.3. I'm David Wayne. Right now we've got cloudy skies. It is 38 degrees here in Pensacola this morning. We'll check in with Brooke Richardson and get our just a few minutes. But first, our headlines today. Pensacola could potentially be in the running for a major new Coast Guard recruit training center. The Trump administration is planning a big expansion of the Coast Guard, over $24 billion, 15,000 new members in the next few years. That means their current boot camp in Cape May, New Jersey, might need some backup. Studio 850 reporting today that the Coast Guard is looking for another facility big enough to handle thousands of recruits. Congressman Jimmy Patronis and both of Florida's U.S. senators submitted a response before the deadline on December 8th, pitching existing Navy facilities here at NAS Pensacola. They highlighted the base's ready-to-use barracks, dining halls, medical facilities, gyms, pool, classroom, and nearby airport access. If Pensacola were to be selected, it could be one of the biggest economic development projects that the region has seen in several years. A former Escambia deputy charged in a deadly summer crash is asking the judge to throw out an arrest warrant in his case. Greg Nesmith is accused of hitting and killing 20-year-olds Jackson Cunningham and Nicole Moore on Perdido Key Drive back in July. According to investigators, he was traveling between 71 and 76 miles an hour in a 45-mile-per-hour zone just seconds before the crash and didn't brake until about a second and a half before impact. Both victims died. On Tuesday, Nesmith's attorney filed a motion to dismiss the warrant and requested what's called a Franks hearing, arguing the affidavit included false statements or left out key information. A court date on the request has not been set. Santa Rosa County is making some changes to how it handles planning and preparation for committee meetings. Starting soon, committee meetings will shift over to Tuesdays and agendas will come out Wednesday mornings. Their goal is to prevent last-minute confusion or speculation when documents get posted on Fridays.
CMR team can do that and work with staff and make sure that we're getting the answers and the facts back out there. And we're just not letting a narrative kind of spin out of control and then, you know, have a panic moment in the boardroom.
Board Chair Colton Wright, he says the change would give staff more time to get accurate information to commissioners and to help avoid rumors spreading on social media throughout the weekend. The board approved the new schedule and they'll vote on a resolution to make it official tomorrow. The Council on American Islamic Relations is suing Governor Ron DeSantis after he labeled the organization a terrorist group. CARE Florida's Hiba Rahim says the governor's targeting the organization while directing state money towards Israel, including investments in Israeli bonds.
Our economy is suffering, but our tax money is going to fuel a better quality of life for Israelis.
And Governor DeSantis argues that CARE has ties to the Muslim Brotherhood and groups such as Hamas and Hezbollah, and says he intends to use the lawsuit's discovery process to examine the group's finances. He also says he's expecting lawmakers and federal officials to take action based on what the state uncovers. Senator Rick Scott renewing his push for a Senate resolution condemning socialism. He took to the Senate floor yesterday, asking his colleagues to unanimously back the measure, which describes socialism as a failed ideology and the antithesis of the American dream. Scott said critics of capitalism, including what he called radicals in New York, are ignoring the benefits they've received from the system. He said the U.S. should follow Florida's example, cutting taxes, reducing regulations, and focusing on job growth. 6:35 at News Radio, and let's get a look at our traffic on the fives with John Pickens.
Brought to you by ECUA Bulkway Services. Now call for pickup. Call by 2 p.m. the day before your service day. Learn more at ecua.fl.gov. Still rolling accident-free right now. I-10, I-110 are looking good. Let's see here. If you're on Highway 29, headed north and southbound, approaching 9 Mile Road, going to see a minor delay in that area, but other than that, things are rolling smoothly. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thank you very much, John. Well, it's a bit of a cold start across the Gulf Coast this morning. Let's get our forecast from Channel 3.
We are going to be looking at a chilly start to your morning with temperatures warming up by this afternoon, 64 degrees for your high, mostly sunny skies. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 45. Heading into Thursday, mostly sunny skies, high near 58. Thursday night, temperatures dropping near 46. Going to be looking at mostly sunny skies on Friday with 67 degrees for your high, and Friday night, temperatures dropping near 58 degrees. Stay connected to Channel 3 News First Morning Weather Team. Download the WEAR-TV weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Morning Weather Center.
Thanks, Brooke. We've got 38 degrees, cloudy skies, or clear skies, I'm sorry, this morning. We'll have more news at 7 o'clock. Breaking news anytime it happens. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
I'm Nicole Murray with Your Money Now. Treasury yields moved higher this morning as investors anticipate the Federal Reserve's interest rate decision set to take place early afternoon. The benchmark 10-year Treasury yield rose more than one basis point to 4.2%. The 30-year Treasury yield was also up one basis point at 4.82%. The Mortgage Bankers Association reports the average rate for a 30-year mortgage increased to 6.33% from 6.32%. Total applications to refinance a home loan rose 14% last week. Compared with the previous week, applications for a mortgage to purchase a home dropped 2% for the week in general. Clayton-based Enterprise Mobility has announced that it bought Hogan, the St. Louis-based commercial trucking and logistics company, which has more than 10,000 vehicles in its fleet. The deal will expand Enterprise's offerings to include van pooling, car sales, and investments. Futures are slightly lower. Tuesday, the Dow Industrials lost 179. That's Your Money Now.
What do you give the person who's always at their desk? X-Chair. This holiday, give next level comfort with X-Chair ergonomic seating. Dynamic variable lumbar support and SciFloat Infinite Recline has your back. X-Chair elevates work, gaming, projects with everyday comfort. During the X-Chair holiday sale, you can save up to 50% site-wide. Don't wait. These deals won't last. Visit xchair.com and save up to 50% today. That's xchair.com.
Open enrollment is here, and this year you can enroll in a Florida Blue plan and get exclusive support from an approved Florida Blue agent. Affiliated Insurance wants to help you find a health plan that's right for you and meets your needs, not theirs. Make enrollment hassle-free this year by calling 850-477-5840. Again, that's 850-477-5840, and make that appointment with your local Florida Blue agent today. Policies have limitation health insurance from Blue Cross Blue Shield Florida Incorporated, BVA Florida Blue.
CVS Health supports people in the moments that matter, from picking up a prescription to connecting care. With nearly 5 million daily interactions and serving 185 million consumers and 1.5 million healthcare professionals, CVS Health holds a trusted place in healthcare. By simplifying care and improving health, we're helping people get the care they need. Learn more at cvshealth.com/investorday. That's cvshealth.com/investorday.
Here are the News Radio 92.3 AM 1620 contest rules. You can win one prize per household per contest in any 30-day period, unless specified by individual contest rules. All prizes on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620 are non-transferable, non-redeemable for cash, or exchangeable for any other prize. News Radio 92.3 AM 1620 prizes must be redeemed within a 30-day period of winning. For a complete list of rules, visit newsradio923.com.
Do you believe in Santa Claus, Tommy?
Sure I do.
This is Jeff Wayne, General Sales Manager, wishing you a very Merry Christmas and a super Happy New Year.
This is Diana Quigley, Marketing and Digital Consultant, and I wish you and your family a very Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year.
Christmas is still Christmas.
Oh, Christmas isn't just a day. It's a frame of mind.
Hi, I'm Morgan, the Promotion Assistant, wishing you a very Merry Christmas, Happy Holidays, and a Happy New Year.
Ho, ho, ho.
Two trailer park girls go round the outside, round the outside, round the outside. Two trailer park girls go round the outside, round the outside, round the outside.
Guess who's back?
Good morning, 640 here on News Radio 92.3. My problem at the moment is I have like 83 different things I want to talk with you about, and I'm trying to decide between them. Oh, interesting note, if you care, in about a half hour, we're going to be talking to the Admiral, who is the commanding officer at Naval Education Training Command, the largest training command in the Navy. Huge, sprawling command that goes all around the world, and it's headquartered here at NAS Pensacola. That's a two-star billet normally, and Greg Huffman is the two-star that's in command of that. Our most recent commanding officer got promoted to go up to Chief of Naval Personnel, I think. 90% sure that that is correct. Don't quote me. It's not like I'm on the radio doing news or whatever. Anyway, so he's going to be here in studio in a half an hour. We'll talk about he was supposed to be here on, I forget if it was Wednesday or Thursday, the week the government shut down. We had this interview all set up, and then, oh. So he'll be back in today, and we'll talk about it. And he's flown a lot of planes. Like, he's flown, I was reading his bio this morning. I think it's 28 different platforms he's flown as like a test pilot. He helped develop the F-18s, the new avionics suite for them. So, and he like commanded he brought the Ford online, and you know, like, I mean, he's got some serious jobs. So anyway, we'll be talking to Capo in just a couple of minutes, a half hour. For now, I wasn't sure if I was going to talk about this today, because I probably can't get into this with him, is why I'm a little hesitant to talk about it at the moment. But I was reading what I consider to be very concerning discussion yesterday about the future of naval aviation vis-a-vis the F-A-X-X, which is the, you know, to replace the F-35. Okay, our, you know, primary fighter attack platform. Somebody texts me and says, don't call it a fighter. Okay, fine. I get you. I'm with you. I understand. But anyway, the F-A-18 that the Blue Angels fly, but not over Venezuela. but anyway, the F-35 was meant to be the everybody can use it plane. Right, the Marines have a version of vertical takeoff and landing, so it can fly off of the straight decks that they use the amphibious decks. The Navy has the carrier-based one that it can fly and, you know, make arrested landings with the tailhook. And then the Air Force has the A version, which is the, you know, fly it off of a runway. Okay, and it was meant to be the one-car-fits-all kind of model, because the theory is that if we could do one car with three trim packages, then we could build one plane that everybody could use and we could save money. Well, it hasn't exactly worked out so great. But, I mean, it's an amazing plane. But the theory of one plane fits all has turned out to be kind of a little bit of a boondoggle. Anyway, we've got the F-47 that the Air Force has in development. The F-47, which Trump likes because it's 47th president. But that one's moving ahead. It's getting all of its funding. There's $2.5 billion in the Air Force F-47 program for next year's NDAA. Meanwhile, the FAXX, the Navy's next generation platform, has been dropped its funding from about $300 million to $74 million, just enough to keep it going. And, you know, it could be higher than that. The Senate version has more funding in their package, I think 1.3, 1.4, something like that. And so we're not done yet. You know, this isn't a decided thing. But the administration seems to have cold feet a little bit about the FAXX. And their theory is, it's not a terrible theory, but here's the theory. The theory is that the country only has the capability to really develop one platform at a time. And so we got to have the next generation platform for the Air Force. Therefore, you know, second cousin, backseat, middle on the hump, the Navy, gets whenever we can get to it platform. You know, just be happy you're getting F-35s. So, but the Navy needs a next generation platform. Like, everybody knows that. We need that to keep up with China, to keep up with Russia, and to keep dominating them. I mean, we got to build an F-A-XX so that China can steal it. I mean, obviously. I mean, that's, how are the Chinese going to get their fighters if we don't develop them first and they steal them through, you know, espionage, like they did with the F-35? Anyway, so this is a concern, though, because we train pilots and we have all of the NETSI, for example, does all of the training for all of the maintainers for all of these planes. You know, we supply the staff based, not all based out of here, but a lot of them come through here, but through the command that, you know, does everything for aviation on all of these ships. But if the Pentagon is slow walking the F-A-XX, the next generation, you know, past the F-35, what does that mean for us? Well, I read what I can only describe as an extraordinarily insightful and scary-ish, I'll tell you why in a second, article at National Security Journal yesterday. It says, the real F-A-XX fighter question no one is asking. John Pickens has traffic on the fives.
Thanks, man. I was like, yes, yes, what's the question?
It's coming. Be patient.
All right. No accidents to report to you right now. I-10, I-110, 90, 98. Everything is flowing smoothly. I'm not seeing any delays this morning. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, John. If you are in the mood to do some work on your house, or you're building a house, or you just need to repair something, Pensacola Hardware, they've got your stuff, and they've got your advice. I mean, obviously, they have all the stuff. They've been around for 174 years. They have all the stuff. But also, and honestly, if you go, you know, they probably let you go look in the back room, you know, just for fun. The warehouse is enormous and frightening. It's like, you know, your grandpa who has his garage full of his tools that he inherited from his great-grandpa. Like that, only, you know, 20-foot tall warehouse with all these racks and racks and racks and racks of stuff. So if they don't have it, you don't need it. Like, they've got whatever it is you need. Anyway, you go there to work on your house, obviously, and for advice, because their institutional knowledge there is unsurpassed. But also, in the front is all the housewares. That's where you can buy your gumbo pots and your Yeti. I mean, they have a lot of Yeti stuff and SEC merchandise and, you know, grills and knives and cast iron skillets, all that kind of, they have all the stuff you could need to be the best gift giver for Christmas. So whether you're going for construction, hardware type stuff, or whether you're going for, you know, the housewares for gifts of Christmas, Pensacola Hardware is your place. Helping people build, rebuild, and remodel Pensacola since 1851, right downtown at 20 East Gregory Street. All right, I promised I'd give you some insight into why I have real concerns, not just about the future of the F-A-XX program, the next generation Navy fighter, but the beyond that, what it means. I kind of want to read you this article, but I don't think I have time to do it. He says, I'll read you some and we'll see how it goes. The long-running battle over the Navy's next-generation fighter aircraft is now a full-blown public feud. Budget leaks, program politicking, back-channel briefings have given way to open sniping over the XX's purpose, or more to the point, what it should not try to be. All that's good and necessary. For the stakes involved, this is no longer a fight to be won through bureaucratic stasis by exhaustion. But in the din of bickering voices, one simple, brutal truth keeps being ignored. If the F-A-XX cannot outrange China's anti-ship ballistic missile threat, then the program is strategically pointless, not merely suboptimal pointless. Now, if your ears perk up at this point, they should. This is really important to understand. Make no mistake, this is not a debate about design preferences, avionics packages, or industrial politics. It's a debate about the future relevance of U.S. naval aviation, and by extension, the aircraft carrier. Do I have your attention? In other words, can U.S. naval aviation continue to fight in the most lethal anti-access environment ever built, or is the aircraft carrier being made irrelevant one inch and a mile at a time? China's strategic approach should not be a mystery to anyone. Over the past two decades, it's been working assiduously to field a multi-layered system of capabilities that will permit it to hold U.S. carriers at risk hundreds and then thousands of miles from its coasts. Anti-ship ballistic missiles, we've heard of these, right? Long-range anti-ship cruise missiles, we've heard of these. Uncrewed, that's drone-ish, either remote or autonomous, underwater vehicles, hypersonic missiles, networked land-based air power. Every piece of this emerging system has a single operational purpose: push the carrier so far to the east that its air wing will no longer be relevant. Under that future force alignment, range suddenly becomes the single most important variable for naval aviation. Not stealth by itself, not the most exquisite sensors, not manned-unmanned teaming as the next big buzzword. Range, as in distance from the carrier to the target and back,
range is what determines whether any of those capabilities will be able to be brought to bear at all. If the FAXX cannot find, track, and engage threats outside the effective envelope of China's growing missile force, then the FAXX is a very high-tech spectator aircraft. This is where much of the public debate over the XX has gone so badly sideways. It treats range as a single requirement to be delicately balanced against speed, payload, size, and cost. That is a profoundly, fundamentally wrong framing. Range is the enabling factor, and everything else is conditional, as in nothing matters but the range. The larger problem here is that the XX thinking has become almost impossible to untangle from larger questions about the future of the aircraft carrier itself. In recent decades, carriers' value proposition has been clear. It was the answer to every maritime problem the United States faced or imagined. Problem in Venezuela, send an aircraft carrier. Problem in the Middle East, send an aircraft carrier. Problem in Afghanistan, send an aircraft carrier, right? Power projection, sea control, deterrent signaling, crisis response, you name it, the carrier worked and thrived because no adversary could meaningfully contest it at a distance. Projection of power. How many times have you heard that phrase? Is the Navy's strength. This is no longer the case. The carrier is no longer an unchallenged centerpiece of the fleet. It's a high-value asset operating inside a global precision strike ecosystem. Its ability to survive, and just as critically, its relevance from here forward will be determined by how far it can project combat power without getting inside ranges at which it cannot survive. So here's the point. China has been building this A2AD, anti-access area denial system. It's a layered system of defense, not only against air, but against the ships. Because if, I'm making up a number, but it's sort of in the vicinity. Let's say your safe operational distance for the aircraft carrier from China is 1,000 miles, you know, let's say it's 500 miles now. They can definitely strike with our aircraft a 500-mile distant target. 1,000 miles starts to be challenging for the distance that Hornets can fly in the air, or the Rhinos, the Super Hornets. And the F-35, same thing. Similar problem. So if you build a missile defense system that includes hypersonics, layered air, subsea, and cruise missiles, and all the rest, if the carrier comes, the farther away it is, the harder it is to project force against a ship. Okay, if it's at 500, it's easier than at 1,000. But if the ship needs to be at 500 in order for it to project its air against the land, then if they can push you back to 1,000, they win. They don't have to destroy the aircraft carrier. They just have to make you scared that you're going to destroy the aircraft carrier so you get too far away to use the planes against them. If they make a bubble around China big enough to force the aircraft carriers to stay defensively distant, it doesn't matter how many aircraft carriers we have, and they can take Taiwan. Does this make sense, John? I know you've never heard this before, right?
No, I've never heard it, but it makes total sense.
Like Venezuela, you know, Iran, Russia, they have very robust, I mean, depending on each one is different, but, you know, fairly robust air defense systems. We can beat them. Okay, fine. But part of why we can beat them is because we can just about park the Ford anywhere we want in the Caribbean, and they can't do anything about it. You cannot just do that with the Ford in the Pacific. You got to think about what China's been building over all these years with all of these islands that are all artificial, but they're bases that they can use to, and you can't just go take out all these defenses. It's not like you can send three planes and knock out the defenses in advance. What you might be able to do is create kind of some Swiss cheese in their defenses and take out some and make enough uncertainty that maybe you can get in, but it's a risky thing. You know, if the enemy has bullets that go 1,000 feet, and, you know, where do you put your trench? 1,100 feet. Okay? But if your bullets only go 1,000 feet, you're both out of range. And that's all they need to push us away from being relevant to Taiwan. I know it's kind of going fast, but I want you to get it. So to me, this question about the FAXX and the slow walk of the funding for it by the administration is a signal. And it's a signal, what I first interpreted as, oh, maybe they're uncertain about manned aviation, which I have been asking this question of naval personnel for as long as I've been here. What's the future of manned aviation? What's the future of manned aviation? We train pilots. We train pilots. We train backseaters. NAS Whiting Field. If we got rid of the men and women, we'd get rid of, I mean, Whiting would go away. If we got rid of, you know, all that, NAS Pensacola would dramatically change, right? Okay, so this is big, important stuff to us here. But economic benefit to Escambia and Santa Rosa County is not the primary issue for the Navy. The Navy wants to be able to fight and win in conflict. And if fight and win in conflict means that we don't depend on manned aviation, that's a big deal for us. We obviously want the Navy to win. That's the most important thing. Well, we're still going to need aircraft carriers for non-China conflicts. But what the question being raised here is not about manned unmanned. It's a question about range and aircraft carrier relevance. And are we still going to need those big, beautiful boats that have 5,000 people on them? It's a little floating city, and that we can project power with our F-18s. for instance, and all the other planes that, and the F-35s that launch off them. So that's what's got me thinking a lot about this today. And I'll be honest, as much as I try to pay attention to military things, I hadn't heard this explanation of the threat challenge with China. Those who know, this is not news to them, okay? I'm telling you what's in, you know, open reporting or whatever. They've been thinking about this for years, and we're losing this fight like in some ways we're losing other fights as well. So I hate to be the bearer of, like, really kind of terrible news. We haven't lost. It's not over. We have, you know, things we're working on as well. We're not just sitting by waiting for them to, you know, outcapacity us. But that seems to be the nature of the real issue behind the future of the next generation for the Navy fighter jet and what it means for naval aviation, carriers, and, you know, little old Pensacola, Santa Rosa County, and Escambia County, and our place in the world of military training and equipment, right? That's where my brain's at. 6:55 on News Radio 92.3. It's time for traffic. But John, thoughts? I mean, is that interesting to you?
Very, very. Yeah. You know, that's, I'm really curious about the future of manned aviation too.
Yeah.
I mean, it's one of those topics that you're like, man, what's next?
Well, and if the I mean, if it's really just we can't build two fighters at the same time, that's one thing. But if it's we want to say we can't build two fighters at one time, but we're just really not sure about the future of naval aviation. That is a whole different issue, which I also am concerned. That's what they're saying. Mm-hmm. Anyway, tell them about traffic, sir.
All right. Well, no accidents to report to you right now. I-10, I-110 still look good. I've seen some minor delays on Highway 90 as you approach Pensacola. About a 3-minute delay there. Other than that, we're doing good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Hey, hey, Pensacola pet parents. Got questions about your fur babies? Well, I'm Dr. Mark Sprayberry, owner of Olive Branch Pet Hospital and Play and Stay Boarding and Daycare here in Pensacola. I'd like to invite you to tune in to my new show, Sit, Stay, and Listen, where I'll be answering all your pet questions live on air.
Sit, Stay, and Listen today at 10 on Pep Talk.
See all you cool people then.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620.
Running a business is tough, but getting connected shouldn't be. Data Revolution is making it easy with free installation of phones and network upgrades. Whether you're opening a new office or upgrading your current setup, our expert team handles everything fast, reliably, and with zero installation fees. Search Data Revolution today to schedule your free installation and see our over 70 five-star reviews. Data Revolution is helping your business stay connected.
Hear that? That's Mike. He took ZzzQuil Pure Z's, so now he's sleeping soundly on a Sunday night. ZzzQuil Pure Z's are fast-acting melatonin gummies with a complimentary botanical blend to help Mike get the sleep he needs to wake up refreshed and ready to conquer Monday.
Let's do this Monday.
ZzzQuil Pure Z's, just for sleep. Really great sleep.
These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. These products are not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Use as directed.
Hey, this is Dr. Ben McMillan. I do a show on the Pensacola Expert Panel. We talk about your health problems.
Let me educate you about the Activator method of adjusting, which offers a safe and effective alternative to traditional manual adjustments. So whether you've been hurt in a car accident or been suffering from back or neck pain, chiropractic care could be your solution and not just a temporary fix.
Join me this Friday on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, Pep Talk, mornings at 9 right after Pensacola Morning News with Andrew McKay on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
I swear to God, this has got to be a joke. Grandparents forgetting a birthday?
Good morning, 6:58, News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. We're going to have Admiral Huffman from Naval Education Training Command up here in about 15 minutes. Right now, David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Netflix is facing a class action lawsuit over its plan to buy Warner Brothers Discovery. Paramount has launched a hostile takeover bid of its own after losing out to Netflix, even though Warner Brothers Discovery's board already agreed to the Netflix $28 a share offer. And now a Las Vegas resident has also filed a lawsuit to block the deal, claiming it would cause irreparable antitrust injury to consumers. The Federal Reserve is expected to cut interest rates again today, likely by 0.25%. It would be the third cut this year. That decision comes with limited data due to the government shutdown. And the Trump administration wants foreign tourists to start handing over 5 years of social media history and contact info before they can enter the U.S. The proposed rule would apply even to travelers from countries that normally don't need a visa.
You know, somebody said a pretty sobering thing. They said, you know, wasn't the aircraft carrier the thing that rendered the battleship irrelevant? What's going to render the aircraft carrier? We don't like to think about it. We don't like to ask that question. But, you know, you always got to be asking the question whether what you're doing is future relevant.
Stream us at